Well, I desire your prayers. I feel very needy this morning. I'd like to look at a scripture in Philippians, the third chapter. I believe that if all of us that are here that have a real desire and a passion to serve the Lord, that this scripture ought to be very meaningful to us.
Amen.
Because it was written by one that had that passion and desire.
Yes.
And it was written that you and I might be able to get a hold of the same blessing that he did, find the same realities. So I'd like to maybe start reading with the third verse. It says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him." Now that's really what I have on my heart today. The thought keeps ringing through my mind, that I may know him. If you have a desire today to know him, there's some things that's kind of hard for me to explain how I think about him. And this is one of them. Lord help us to get it to our thinking. But there are some things that I can make a choice about, and it happens. I can choose to certain things, and then it has an effect in my life. There's other things that I can choose that has no effect to me. For instance, I can choose, I can make a choice today that I'm going to be better today. I'm going to do better today. Now, it helps to make the choice to get into the avenue of doing it. But I've never found much success in making a choice that I ain't as gentle as I ought to be. I ought to be gentler. And I'm going to be gentler. I find out that I'm not gentler. I have no ability to produce in myself the things that I wish for. Do you? Have you found that you're successful in making yourself something that you've not been able to be? I don't find within my own self the ability to do that. I can't make myself something that I'm not. I can't make myself. If I would have made myself, I would have been a little taller than I am. I found uses for that, but I've never been able to strain or stretch, or it never worked. Never been able to do it. And it's been the same way in my spiritual life. I've never been able. I've recognized the worth of it. Tried to make a choice to do it, but it don't stand by itself. It's not something that I can choose and stand for itself, but it's something that has to be created in me. Something got to be made in me. Now the apostle here is counting, is beginning. He's made a choice here. He's recognized that the thing that he wanted lay before him. I don't believe he can make it for himself, but he realized what he had to do in order that it would be created in him. He said, "I count it all loss." You know, there is a reality of knowing Christ that can't come through our own imaginations or thought. I'm going to know him better. Brother Leslie preached to us last night about worldliness. Worldliness will keep you from knowing Christ. It can't abide together. The functions and the reality of coming to know him can't be known in there. You'll never really know who he is or the way he functions, the way he works. If you partake of these things, it will not work out that you know him. Because the Bible says that it's an enemy. It's contrary. It works completely opposite. So, to think about it, there's things that that needs to work to better explain it? Patience. You ever say, probably we all have, if we've been honest, I need to be more patient. And so you will it to be so. I'm more patient. I know I need to be patient, so now I am. I chose to be, and now I'm more patient. Does it work for you? But the Bible has a prescription for it. There is a way to be more patient. The Bible says, what is it? Tribulation. Patience don't stand by itself. It stands in the work. It can be created in you, but there's a way that it takes to get to that place. Knowing Christ is that way. You don't just will to know Him, but you put yourself into the place that He can make it and you can realize who He is and what He is. I'll give you another example of what I'm talking about. Up home, we have some neighbors. I'm a kind of person that is bothered by disagreements. I'm bothered by the thought that somehow I failed to be what I ought to be. I'm bothered by those kind of things. We have some neighbors up there that we've lived there for a number of years, and I feel like the Lord has wanted me to do it and helping. And this was an old widow woman, and she would call me from time to time, quite often at times. Can I borrow you something? Would you come over and fix something? I need your help. I hate to bother you. And over the years, I've been I was very purposed that if she called, I was going to drop what I was doing and I was going to help her out. And over the years, I've done that. And so tried to be as good as we could. My wife and my daughters, they'll make cookies or they'll make pie or something and they'll take it over. And I think that's all good. I think that's what the Lord wants us to do. We had some trouble. I won't get into all of it. I've told it too many times. But we had some trouble and the neighbors seemed like they turned on us. Like a slap in the face after all of that. After all of those things that we had done. And then they turned. It seemed like they were so opposed us and so against us. Like we were bad. At least I was. And I had to deal with that in my mind. I had to deal with it in my heart. I had to respond to that. It touched me. I'm touchable. I'm not a rock. I can't just admit it. It touched me. I don't like it. I had to deal with it in my own mind. What is this? How do I deal with it? And I'll be honest with you. All kind of different temptations. But the Lord spoke to me one afternoon and said, that's the way I was treated. I could have never had the realization without that. I would have never have been touched so deeply. I'm more touched now by what the Lord done because of the experience of my own heart. I had to go through a rejection after I'd given all purposed with the greatest intention to be as good and be as much of a blessing and be as much of a helper as I could. I was flat rejected. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you know me now a little better. I do know the Lord a little better now because of the adversity that came into my own life. The thing, Paul here was trying to get something expressed. I counted it all lost that I may know Him. I may know Him. I give up everything, my ambitions, my desires. I give up all things good and bad. I put it all away, my thinking. I put it all aside that the influence of Christ might come into my life through the events of my life, might teach me. Lord, now I've cleared out that my thinking's not here now because my thinking, this is what Paul dealt with too. My thinking, when the things of life comes, my thinking's going to take me stray of knowing you. I'm not going to embrace that. Do you know that the Lord had no ill intentions towards mankind at all? He had a heart full of love. He was coming to suffer and die for you, to take on Himself, our sins, to be ridicule, all these things. He put on him the burden of sin. He put on him the separation that sin caused. He took that too on himself. He had a perfect mind to come and bless the people of the earth. And when he got here, they rejected him. They rejected him. That don't sound real pretty. But do you want to know Christ today? Paul, he threw it all away. I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know what he's about. I want to know how he feels. I want to know what it means. I want to know him. I want to have a close relationship. I want to understand. The only way that you and I can do that is to empty out. To put away all those things that's unlike. Put it away that you may know him. Might really have an understanding of what he is. I read something a month or so ago that really stirred my thinking. The question was asked, why did God allow Satan to take advantage of Eve? Why did God not know when he put Adam and Eve in the garden that they would fail? Well, I think that God knew, because he knows it all. His wisdom's not short. His understanding's not shortened. I think God knew. Now, this is not original to me. I want to bring it out. It was written by John Wesley a couple hundred years ago or more. But it was a message that he preached, and it was written. And he dealt with the subject of why that happened in the garden. And what he said was so stirring to me, because it makes sense to my mind. What he said was that, yes, God knew. God knew. But he said, you know that in the garden, Adam and Eve, they could love God as a creator. They could know him as that. And they could know him as that one that came down in the middle of the night, or in the midst, in the cool of the evening. They could know him as that. But that limited them. They couldn't know him beyond that. Because knowledge doesn't come by wish or desire. It comes from living. It comes, patience, for instance, comes by tribulations. It takes something. It doesn't stand by itself. God was a great lover of humanity, but Adam and Eve was limited in how they could understand it. They really couldn't know. Do you know, without adversity, you and I can never feel, never know, never experience the true depths of His love? You never know. How faithful is God today? Absolutely faithful. You'll never know it till you put yourself into the realms. You can choose to, but you'll never know His absolute faithfulness to your soul till you put yourself totally into His hands. You put yourself totally into His hands and allow Him to work, and you'll find Him totally faithful. All the way through, every circumstance, every trial, every affliction, every time you need Him, He's absolutely faithful. That was limited into Adam and Eve because they never had troubles. They didn't know. How could they have? How could they ever experience the great redeeming power of Christ? They never could have. How could they ever have known God as loving them so much? They knew Him to create them, but they didn't know Him that He, this one that created us, would also die for us. Not only die, He would suffer the humiliation of His own creation. Not only that, but He would suffer nails. He would suffer pain. He would suffer this. The love is extended greater now because of the understanding. You'll never really understand that until you get into the place that you see someone do it for you. You'll never understand Christ. You'll never know Him until you come to the place that Paul did, when he come to the place that now he's in that situation and he loves a group of people so much that he says, I'd be accursed. I love them so much that I wish myself could perish for them. He knew Christ, didn't he? He come in, the love was so strong in his own heart for that one that he realized Christ. To have an enemy come up against you and to work at that, oh, Jesus in the garden in that sweat, but to go down before the Lord and find that love of God for them that you could say, now, I would give my life for them. That's knowing Christ. Now I know better. I know what He is. I know what He does. John Wesley said that the garden experience basically was shallow. Salvation is greater than the garden. If you look at it in the terms of God, yes, God knew it. I think God's total plan throughout all the generation, His total plan was to be loved and to understand love and understand the sacrament, to know God. We'd never known Him. Never known Him. Had it not come to pass that through suffering, through trial, through difficulties, here's the one that went through it all. What a Savior. Oh, aren't you glad that you can know Him? I told this, I preached a little bit of this at La Ronja and I told the story. I remember one time it was very impressive to me. I was a young Christian and Brother Beebe was up to our camp meeting, one of the first camp meetings I was ever at, and Brother Beebe stood up before the congregation and he had been with Brother Tinsley, and Brother Tinsley was a man devoted to his wife. His wife was bedfast. Brother Tinsley was a mild, meek man that had devoted his existence to his bedfast wife. And Brother Beebe got up one time in the camp meeting there, and he started testifying. Tears started running down his eyes. Started testifying about a man that loved his wife so much. He never murmured. He never complained about it. He worked diligently. She'd ring a bell or a buzzer or something. Brother Tinsley's duty and call was to be there to take care of his wife. What faithfulness. What love. Touches our hearts to know that someone can be so given to another. Giving himself to love them. Do you know that could only be expressed in a sinful, suffering world? It could only be expressed the only way. That gives me a little bit more of a glimpse of Jesus Christ. Because there was a brother that sacrificed how many years he had left. Oh, he lived a few years through that. I don't know, he was an older man. He wasn't all that capable. But he was dedicated. What he could have been. What he could have been doing. The enjoyments of his own life. He gave it seconds. This was primary goal. And he done it with diligence. And I remember that testimony. I could never have known that and understood that had it not been through suffering. Someone suffered that we might know that. So if it's true, and I believe that it is true, it is a better experience today. Salvation is the greatest experience. Sometimes we look and say, oh, that garden would have been wonderful. And it would have been, there was no sickness, there was none of that. But you would have never known Christ in you. You'd have never known the joys of salvation and the love, the great love of God, the shed abroad in our hearts. You'd have never known the great sacrifice. It comes through these kind of things. And if it's true today, then that means something more to you and I. Because it means that in every trial, in every circumstance, and sometimes we look at circumstances and it becomes so cruel looking. It becomes so devastating to our minds. We look at the pitifulness of human condition sometimes. And, oh, and it's terrible. We look at that and say, that's an awful way for someone to have to live. But I want to say God is in control today. God's plan is the same plan through it all. We look at things like C.W. Naylor. Wasn't that the brother that was bedfast for a number of years that wrote the songs and all those things? Be pity for 40 years. 40 long years. But he knew Christ. It took that. And I look at that with astonishment. That a man could be so gifted and give and do the works that he done from a bed? Well, he oughtn't be astounded. Paul done it from a jail cell. But what does it do? It brings out emotions in us. And the reason is because it's outstanding. It's beyond. This is Christ. It's greater. It's a greater fulfillment of life. Rather be in a jail cell knowing the Lord and having love in my heart than be free and bound by the world. It's greater. Paul said in his writings, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He never claimed that Rome had a bond. It was God in control all the time. The great plan of God was that I might know Him. That I might know and fellowship His sufferings. That I might know Him and know what He wants to be. That you'll never experience life until you've loved this way. This is the greatest of it. To sacrifice like this. To have that love in there, nothing is greater. And He wanted you and I, beyond the garden experience and the creation and all that, He wanted people that could know Him for what He really is. This is God, purest form. God is love. And He expresses that love to you and I. I want to tell you something. We have a doctrine of divine healing. Take that. In the context of this message, He wants you and I to know Him above everything else. I ain't been dogmatic about the doctrine. I'm telling you something that's great and grand to know Him. I want to tell you something today. He is always looking on. Don't you ever think that I'm in a situation that the God of heaven is off on a journey or pre-adventure. He's asleeping, because He's not. He's looking on and He cares for you and I. And His greatest desire is to know me. Would you know me? Yes, I want to know you, Lord. So I cast it all aside. I want to know you. I want to know just how faithful is. My child, I'm here. I'm always here for you. I'm that faithful. I want you to learn of me. Have you suffered? I haven't suffered a lot, not in body. I have some, but not greatly in body. But I've suffered in mind. I've suffered in the idea of mental. What am I going to do? In the thing, the worries and the stresses of life. I've worried in that, and I want to tell you something. I found Him always true, always faithful, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. This means something to me today. This was someone that in his heart wanted to know Christ to the point that he accepted the circumstances of his life. I am preaching this with boldness because I've seen it. It's a truth. If you're not in a battle now, you'll be in one. If you're not strongly tempted, you will be. This is a second-hand testimony, but it was given to me. Someone had said, Brother Veda said it, that a while back, I remember Brother Veda had a heart, something in his heart. He thought he was going to die, and his testimony was, I believe Brother Stanley testified to it, that he said, well, I just want to go on and be with the Lord. So Brother Stanley asked him, well, would you be willing to stay? Well, yeah, I'd be willing to stay. But the last testimony I heard, Brother Veda was saying, I've never been fought, the devil's never fought me so hard. You're going to be contested. The things are coming. You may not be dying now, but you will be. Your loved ones may be good now, but they will have trouble. This is the way of it. It's all a design of God. It didn't happen chance. God is in control. This is the way that you and I may know Him. The love, you and I can't understand it. I'll never be able to put the words to it. Never. But I can understand it. I can understand it when I get into my deepest needs and I see the saints start laying down their things and start running to my... There comes Christ. That's what He done. He didn't have an ambition of His own life and desires here. He came running to the rescue
of those that He loved. You and I. And how many times you and I get that love for that loved one, for that neighbor, that burden, that desire. Oh, Lord, save them. Save them. And then we get slapped in the face of it. What's our response? It should be like Christ. If I'll learn to know Him here. Lord, they did You the same way. How could they have done that to the Lord? I don't even hardly understand it. His compassion was so real. His love was so strong. He had so much to offer them. He didn't speak harmful to those people. It was always with outreached hands. He was willing to feed the poor. He was willing to heal the sick. He'd have done it to the Pharisees. He'd have done it to the chief priests. He came with open arms and invitations, and they slapped Him across the face. They spit upon Him. I want to know that one that took that and still loved them just the same when He got through. Now how? How is it possible for me? By will? Can I choose today that that's what I am? You just come and hit me and see? No. It's going to be because some neighbor says they're evil. They said the Lord was Beelzebub. How could they have possibly made that determination? But they did. I want to know Him. And how can I know it? Unless I go through some things. You will look at it and say, I don't want to suffer. But yet in suffering, folks, is the greatest blessing. We'll learn the faithfulness of our Lord right there. The love that He has for us will be developed right there in the suffering that we have. Face your battles today. That if you want to know Christ, if you have a desire, a burning desire to be what He wants you to be, face your battles this way. Lord, help me that I might see You. That I might know You. That my reaction is Your reaction. What did You do when the pain was riddled your body? What did You do when the old thorns pushed down? Thank You, Lord. I'm doing this for a cause. I'm doing it for a reason. Let me ask you something. If you could do it, would you give your very life to save your loved ones? Do you have that? Do you love enough to do it? Christ did. And I see down through the ages of time, the people of God had the same thing in their hearts too. They through giving over to Christ, began to know Him. And the same attributes came in. You know what affects? It's a close relationship affects you and I. There's no way that you can have a close relationship. You may think that you're the strong one and the other's the weak one, but that weak one will end up affecting the strong one after a while. You may not notice, but over time and affiliation, there's a changing. There's a relationship that means something. It's from closeness. It affects. There's always something, a little thing there. I used to work in a coal mines, and coal mines were big, burly men, and tough men, and you had to be kind of that way and to do it. And I worked in there as a surveyor and had my coveralls and my belt and my light, and dirt on my face, and big boots and metal toes, that kind of thing. Get to the coal mines and have my stuff to put on, sit down with all the guys there and go to put my foot in my boot, and there'd be a little baby doll bottle in my boot. One of my girls playing would put it. It's from close contact, and there it is. Pull it out in front of everybody. There's a baby doll bottle in my boot. I'm affected. Everybody knows I've got children. It's a relationship, and it's close contact, and the little things you have affected in your life. I want to know Christ. I want His ways, His things to rub off on me. I want to pull out in the middle of the heart at all times. I want to pull. Gentleness is there. I want to pull out. Here's Christ. Right here's Christ. He's rubbed off on me. I learn Him. I know Him. He's taught me to know Him. He made a design before the world was that Christ would come. And He knew what was going to happen in the garden. It was a plan from the beginning. If this happens, I'm going to teach them. They'll know me better than ever. They'll know me. A great plan of God. I want to know Him. I want to be in that times. And I want to tell you, it's not always easy. And I ain't standing up here preaching that it is. Sometimes it's, as they say, it's tooth and toenail. Sometimes it's digging in. No, I want it, and I want it real bad, and I'm not going to give in to that influence. I'm going to have to give that up. All that I am, all that I ever wanted to be, is gone away. Brother Mark said one time, I believe it was, said, or maybe it was Brother Tony, one of these barbers anyway, had mentioned about going to barber school, and the barber says, "Who right first off, who can cut hair?" Oh, there's a few said, "I can." Well, you need to forget what you know. We're going to learn it right here. This is why Paul emptied out what he knew. Because my thinking, my way, all of that is contrary, and I want to know Him. It doesn't make sense to the human mind. That's why Brother Leslie warned us so strong last night against television. The influence of television doesn't work the righteousness of God in your heart. That I might know Him. That doesn't let you know Him. It's not geared towards it. It's geared towards selfishness, lustful things, or towards the flesh. Paul said, if you have confidence in the flesh, I've got more confidence than you. If anybody's flesh could have got him through this thing, it'd have been mine. And mine won't do it either. That's why it's so strong, the warning against the world. Put those things away that you may know Christ. He'll come in and talk to you. He'll come in the lessons of your life. And you'll learn Him. And what learning Him really means is that you know it, not because someone said it. You know that there can be, I've read it in the Faith and Victory, I've read your testimony, it gives me knowledge, but I don't know it until I've experienced it, till it's happened to me, until He's my Savior, till He's my healer. When He's my healer, it's real. When He touches my body, you can't take that from me. My brother may have been mistaken. Your old saints may have been mistaken. But I'm not mistaken because it happened in me. God's real because I feel Him every day talking to my heart. Saying things to me. He's real. He's real. Oh, and the many times that the Lord will do something and I can look back and say, "Oh Lord, You were so real. Your purpose was so real. You dealt with me right there. And it worked out just that way." I had been contacted about having something for the youth roundup. It's going to be in West Virginia. I was contacted about Monarch Time, about having that. I was in the meeting in Myrtle, sitting in my seat, and Brother Curtis, he don't even know it, but he got up and he exhorted on a message, and he said something in that exhortation that the Lord said, "I want this preached at the..." Lord, yeah, okay. I didn't even understand it. What do you want? I want this preached. That's what I wanted at the roundup. Well, there was supposed to be a theme, and it was going to say this goes with this and that. And finally, they never did even contact me with it. It didn't matter because the Lord already told me this is what they want. It was real. It was real. That's what the Lord wanted. I know Him. He wants me to know Him. He wants me to have the confidence. See, that means something to me. You all may say, "Oh, Brother Marty's out there. I don't even believe it works that way." Go ahead, but it don't affect me. Because it was the Lord spoke to my heart something. And that was real. And I know Him. And now as we go through life, if you want to know Him, clear out, empty out, that you may know Him. It works that way. It doesn't stand by itself. We don't up and say, I'm going to know Him. Now I know Him. I'm going to learn Him. I'm going to think about Him. No, let Him teach you. Let Him teach you Himself. That's what He's always doing. Of course it's the Word, but He brings the Word to life. Over and over He brings the Lord to life, the Word to life. There's a scripture that says, "A soft answer turn away wrath." You know, the Lord proved that to me years ago and spoke the scripture to me too. This is it right here. That's real. That's real. I know it. The way He done it when He said, He spoke not a word. You ever been in a time that you spoke not a word? Lord help me, I talk too much at times. That is knowing Christ. There's been times that the Lord don't want you to say a thing. I've been there. What the Lord don't say anything to you. You're taking it. I want to know Him. I want to know how He handles His things of life. Lord, help us today that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Adam Clark mentioned that said no man could really No man could ever really fellowship the suffering, could never really suffer like he did. No man is ever going to take on the sins of the world and the agony of what it meant to be on that cross. In the flesh, there's many people suffered that and more, but in the spirit, you'll never suffer like Christ did with the sins of the world hung on you and the grief and the sorrow of that. No way. You'll never ever experience that. But he said that he also was a martyr for truth. That's impressive too, a martyr for truth. Christ was a martyr for the truth. He came down and died that the truth might go on. That he demonstrated the truth in his life and died for it. I want to know Christ. I want to know what it means to walk faithful. I want, when it comes down to my time and my places, I want to be that way too. Told you about Brother Tinsley and Sister Tinsley. Brother Tinsley went on to the point, I admire this. I'm not puffing anybody up here today, but I admire this. It teaches me Christ. Brother Tinsley got to the point that he was weak in mind, not able to take care of himself. There was times that he had to be taken care of in a way that was could have been very embarrassing and great. You know what I'm talking about? Brother Tony and Brother Sammons, time and time again, they'd go up there and take care of that duty and do that in love. I'm going to tell you something. That touched me. That was Christ-like. You could have done a lot of things. I ain't going into that. I can't handle that. I'm weak in stomach. I can't do things. But there's love. There's love. There's faith. Christ came and tried to, he wanted you and I to know that. He's that way. He did it all. He would do it to the furthest degree. He done it for you and I. Adam and Eve would never know it. But we know it. We've experienced that loving hand of Christ that came down and give it that. And not only did He do it, but He done it that you and I may have it dwelling in us, that the fullest life that a man could ever live could be experienced right here in this present world. I can love my enemy because of Christ. I can have gracious and good thoughts because He lives. Because He lives in me and because I know Him. And Paul got a hold of this and he longed for it more than anything else in the world. And I want to tell you something today. It's worth giving your life for. It's the greatest of all ways of living that I may experience Christ and what He does and all this. Remember, they all heard it just back before Christmas. Or a story, don't even remember the name of it. But it's a little story that they say about the visitor. The Lord says, I'm going to come and visit you. And so the man says, oh, he gets ready, and the Lord's coming. So he wants everything to be just right, and there's a knock at the door. And the man goes to the door, and it's not the Lord. It's just a poor old person, some poor needing help, and he takes them in. And that happens three times. Once it's a child and a beggar, and different ones need to be warmed. Three times he takes it in, and he's disappointed. The Lord didn't come. Lord, why didn't you come? I came. I came three times. And every time I came, I found a friend. I want to know Christ. I want to know the one that reaches the hand down. It's the greatest fulfillment you'll ever have in your life. It's to be able to reach out beyond your own self. Lord, help me to reach out beyond myself, to be able to get somebody else. We don't touch anybody mainly because we're so self-centered. We're within ourselves, always within ourselves. It's about me. He said that I dropped it all off. That I might know Him. That I might be the one that's able. You can't make love in yourself, folks. You can't do it. If you have a desire to live for the Lord and have the love of God in your heart, you're going to have to put off the world. You're going to have to put off yourself. Because it doesn't stand by itself. It's created in us through these things. Oh, I'm touched. I want to tell you something. I believe the Lord gave me a vision of the church. Years ago. But I've bonded over the years more and more to the people of God. Because I've bonded to Christ. The same ones that's willing to do the dirty job. One day they may have to do it to me. I may have to do it to somebody else. Lord, help us to have the love of Christ and to know Him and to fellowship His suffering on every line. There is times that the Lord in His great wisdom chooses to pluck out someone that we think so valuable.
He plucks them out and they just are so faithful. They anchor themselves into Christ and they just love God to the end. Trust in Him. I'm going to tell you something. They mean something to me today. When I get to the point, am I going to be able to make it? The Lord will say, this little old weak woman, she's only about this high. She did. She trusted me and she was faithful through it all. It gives me courage. I can do it too. In weakness, become strong. That's part of knowing the Lord. He humbled himself down. Paul realized this place. He had learned Christ. What is how do you get through your troubles? Get low before God. You know what humility, we had a lesson on humility the other day. You know what the most valuable thing in humility is, in my mind? I believe it's valid. It's honesty. If you're really honest with yourself, you're going to be humble. Because you're going to know your inadequacies, you're going to know your insufficiencies. You're going to know when you measure yourself to God, you're nothing. Oh, who is man that thou art mindful of us? Nothing. In the Son of Man that you would visit. Nothing, we're nothing. We come through Adam and we're poor and wretched and sinful. If we're really honest, we'll be humble. We'll be humble. We'll look and say, Lord, you gave so much to me, and I ain't worthy of any of it. I'm not worthy of any of it. And now when I express that back to my brother, I can do it wholeheartedly because I'm not worthy of what the Lord done. So now I have to give. I've nothing anyway. Remember over in Acts where they said, none of them said that anything that they possessed was of their own. It wasn't mine. Nothing's mine. Well, I say, well, I'm great, big, and strong, and I can jump higher than anybody. So I got pride. Who made you to jump like that? I willed it. I willed it to be fast. I willed it to be strong. I willed to be smarter than you and better looking. You've never done it. If you're honest with yourself, you didn't create anything of yourself and you can't keep it from leaving you either. Be honest with yourself and you'll be humble. I want to know Him. He never said anything of His own. He always pointed to the Father. I want to know Him in humility. He says, by if any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. Here was a man that was willing, he wanted to know Christ. Lord, help us today. I want to finish up with Romans 5, familiar scripture. I think I already mentioned it, a little bit of it. I'll start with the first verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Think about heaven. Oh, it's wonderful. Wonderful place. It's going to be worth going to. But I read something the other day that stuck with me. It was a commentary on a scripture. It was in Job. It was in Job, and where it said he wished death would come upon him. And the commentary writer said that was a very sinful thing to say. Because God had chosen, through His great wisdom and understanding, suffering, that they may be better. He chose suffering in their stead that they might learn Him. God had chosen it for their life and they wanted out of it. Give me death instead of this. But it was God that had ordained it, that you and I may know Him. So in the events of our life, in the times of our life, sure, heaven's going to be worth it. And I want to go too. And there's times that this all... But Lord, help me to get it all that You got for me. I think it's a wonderful testimony of the saints to say, I'm ready to go on and I want to go on and be with the Lord. Paul said it too. But not to escape. I want to go to that blessed place, sure. But it's glorious. And that's what he said here. We rejoice in the hope of that eternal place. But not only so, but we glory in tribulations also.
the plan of God working in my life. If it takes tribulations to know Christ, I want to know Him. It's worth it. It's deep and it's meaningful. It's the best life you'll ever live. Give me some tribulations. I'll glory in them. Thank God for them. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And see, it's not standing by itself, is it? It's in the work of God. Tribulations worketh patience. You want to be more patient? Choose to have it. No. Submit yourselves to your tribulations. Submit yourselves to God and the will of God. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. This is the fruit. This is the end. This is the thing I'm apprehending. This is what I want. I want to see it when it comes down to the end of it. I want it to be said, thou good and faithful servant. He followed the plan. Submitted himself to my hands. And oh, what it can do. What the potter can do with the clay. Submitted to his hands. Vessels that he can make into honor. Things that he can do. Look at the pitiful states of our condition sometimes. I want to tell you, it's all for a purpose and desire of God in our life. That the great grace and love of God can be known by you and I, and that we might know Christ. The more situations I'm put into, the better I'll know Him. The more I'll know. Never hung on a cross. I don't know what it feels like. I don't know. But I want to tell you, old Stephen, he got, oh, what a blessing it must have been to him. When them rocks was flying, he was doing just what Christ had done. He was doing it too. I know Him. I know Him more and more. Well, I looked up and seen Him standing on the right hand. I know Him. Lord, I'm giving just like You did. When you look into what Paul said, I won't get into all that, but if you look into what Paul said when he was willing to be accursed, he said, when he said that he was giving himself for the Jews, his people, if you look into that, that's one of the deepest likenesses of what Christ done. He was willing to put himself at jeopardy for you and I. Paul was willing to put himself in jeopardy because he loved them so much. He was sacrificing deeply for them. And he got there, folks, because he was willing to take away, get out of his life, all the things that had made him Saul. He was willing to say, that's not me anymore. I'm a learned man, I throw it away. I've had this, I throw it away. I wanted to be that, I throw it away. I become nothing that he might teach me, the teacher might teach me without the interruptions of myself to interfere with it. Because there's an interference. I'm interfering with this knowledge. I'm interfering with that. Had I opposed my neighbor out in the road, I wouldn't know him like I know him. I know him deeper for myself and what he gave for me. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.